a series called Jesus, Behold the Man. Jesus, Behold the Man. If you'll remember, some of you might be new to Jesus, new to Christianity. Shortly before Jesus was crucified, he stood trial before the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. Pilate turns Jesus towards the angry mob that is shouting, "Crucify him." And he says, "Behold the man." To behold is to look, to consider, to contemplate, to gaze, to observe, to witness, to see. For the past 7 weeks, we've been trying to behold the beauty of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the wisdom of Jesus, the claims of Jesus, the truth and power of Jesus, the grace and forgiveness of Jesus, and the life that Jesus offers us. We've been exploring Jesus' 7 I am statements from the Gospel of John. Jesus says a few things that are quite powerful about himself. He says, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I'm the way, truth, and life. I'm the vine, and I'm the resurrection and the life." Bread, light, door, shepherd, way, truth, life, vine, resurrection. Each of these images are so powerful, and for the last 2,000 years, they've changed the world. So if you've been our guest for the past 7 weeks and you've been wondering about Jesus and you've come with a friend, thank you for coming. Thanks for being part of this journey. But today is our final Sunday. On this Resurrection Sunday, I invite all of us, whether we're brand new to Jesus or have been following him for decades, to come like the Greek men who came to Philip with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus. We would like to see Jesus. I think that's why you're here. You want to see him in a new way, in a fresh way." And so we're going to come and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes that we would see Jesus. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and we thank you for sending your only Son, our Lord Jesus. And we pray that we would see him. Holy Spirit, open our eyes that we would see the beauty of Jesus. Lord God, as we come and as we study your word, we are asking for new insight, for fresh hope, and for you to pour out your love upon us. God, we thank you for your presence here. And Jesus, we want to see you. So it's in your name we pray this. Amen. One day, after one of Jesus' good friends dies, and we're going to explore this story in a second, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." What does he mean? We're going to explore this. And I want to begin this exploration by asking you a question. Have you ever felt like the future had arrived in the present? Something you could only imagine in the future, it was suddenly there. It was right in front of you. For me, this first happened in 2003 when at Christmas, my brother and I received an iPod. And I thought to myself, the future is here. I can put 1,000 songs on this iPod. Like, I'm holding the future, cradling the future. It was unreal. Also, the future arrived into my present when I began to speak to my good friend, Pastor Corey. He bought Meta glasses. And have you seen Meta glasses? Apparently, Mark Zuckerberg tells us that cell phones are going to be non-existent, that we're going to all use glasses. Don't ask me how. But apparently these glasses are like a little computer. And so when I stared at Corey, I'm like, "Are you recording this?" And he was like, "No." He's like, "There's a little light that turns on." And I was like, "That's probably not true. Mark Zuckerberg is watching our conversation right now." Yes, these glasses, unreal. Also, just a third example of this is, I don't know if you know this, but I've been working on 4 different languages, taking Duolingo. And I've pretty much mastered it. I only started a few weeks ago, and I've mastered these languages. So I just want to show you. There's actually 4 languages that you're going to just listen to. And check it out.
Como si lo estuviéramos escuchando por primera vez, la poderosa verdad de que tú eres nuestro padre. 住在德克萨斯州，我是在德克萨斯州出生的，所以我当时在德克萨斯州的一个湖边。 Artlup hot in die water, trek ons op in uit die water, hij redt ons van die vijand en hij noemt ons zijn kinders. Це ніжні слова, які маленька дитина могла б висловити або використовувати, щоб покликати своїх батьків. 我们的父在天上的父，愿你的名被尊为圣。那么，耶稣会用什么语言来教导呢？
Thank you. I've been working so hard on that. Anyone could detect the languages? What kind of languages did you hear there? Spanish. Yeah, Mandarin. Ukrainian. Anyone know the last one? No? Okay, it was Afrikaans. Yeah, any of you from South Africa, you just lost a point. This was your home country. Afrikaans. Anyway, okay, AI, there you go. It was not Duolingo, as you probably know. It's like the future is here, right? And have you ever felt like the future had arrived into your present? Well, today, Jesus will claim that in him, the future had arrived into the present. The future hope was crashing into the present age in Jesus, in him. There's a very tragic moment in the life of Jesus, which I mentioned earlier, when his friend Lazarus died. Jesus was friends with 3 siblings, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Lazarus, his good friend, had died. And Jesus had taken his time coming to the town they lived in. You see, Mary and Martha had sent news to Jesus. He was in a different town and said, come quick. We know you heal people. Come quick, heal our brother. But Jesus delayed coming. And it was puzzling to Mary and Martha. And he was so late that by the time he arrived to their village, Bethany, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. He had been in the tomb for 4 days. And you see, the sisters, they knew that Jesus could have healed their brother. And so Martha went out to meet Jesus. And we'll pick up the story in John chapter 11, verse 21. And we'll read to 26. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Should I hear a yes? That is so amazing. Good for you. Yes. Do you believe this? Notice that Jesus allows Martha to lament, to say hard things to him. Martha's like, you could have been here, right? Jesus invites us to be honest. The world is filled with suffering and sickness and pain and tragedy and death. And in a room like this, I'm sure you've experienced all of those things. Jesus welcomes our honesty. He listens with such love. And Martha knows intellectually that one day, far off in the future, God will put the world back together. She is a good Jew. She knows her scriptures. She remembers that the prophet Isaiah had written in chapter 65 and 66 that there would be a day when God would create a new heavens and a new earth. One day in the future, God would make it all better. He would wipe away every tear from our eyes. There would be no more weeping and crying. A day when there would be peace and no more destruction. See, Martha knew that. She believed it intellectually, that day would one day come in the future. But clearly that day was not there yet. Why? Because the Roman Empire was oppressing her people and life was difficult for her, and her brother had just died. He was in the tomb for 4 days. Clearly, the final resurrection had not happened yet. And so she says, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I know that, Jesus. I know that intellectually. And it's at that very moment that Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. That future age that you're talking about, Martha, that you believe will happen at the last day, I'm here. It's happening in me. The future resurrection is not just some future thing. The future is now crashing into the present in Jesus. The future life of God is pouring into the present now. And it is just moments after this that Jesus miraculously called Lazarus from the tomb. So Mary and Martha's brother that had been dead for 4 days walks out of the tomb alive. Who has this kind of power over death? You see, Jesus claims resurrection is not just some moment way far ahead in history. It's a person. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. Resurrection in Greek is anastasis. It's a rising up, to rise. Jesus then is saying, in me, all things that are dead will rise up. Death is being reversed in me. In me, I can change the course of death and sin and evil and destruction. It can be reversed in me. I want to use two images from two of my favorite authors, J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis. Some of you, if you're new to Jesus or Christianity, you may have read some of their novels, their fiction. And you might not know that these authors were committed followers of Jesus. And their hope in Jesus kind of made its way into their writings and stories. The first image is after the great epic battle in Tolkien's The Return of the King. After the evil ring is destroyed, Samwise Gamgee asks Gandalf a question. Is everything sad going to come untrue? What a beautiful question. Yes, everything sad will begin to come untrue in Jesus. The future resurrection would begin to flood into the present. Second image is that of Aslan the lion, the Christ figure in Lewis's Narnia series. Aslan dies and comes back to life. And Aslan reminds Susan and Lucy of an ancient truth in Narnia. Quote, when a willing victim who had committed no treachery was killed in a traitor's stead, the table would crack and death itself would start working backwards. Jesus, the innocent one, who laid his life down for you and I, for a sinful world, in Jesus, death would start working backwards. In Jesus, everything sad would begin to come untrue. In Jesus, the future is here, and in Jesus, God is making all things new. And why do we know this? Because a short number of days after this miraculous moment with Lazarus, Jesus is crucified. He dies and is buried. And then on the third day, we read of his own resurrection, the moment he put death to death. John 20, verse 1, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. And Jesus was alive. And Jesus' followers are shocked and they're confused and they're bewildered, they're afraid, but they're hopeful. Like, what if? What if? And then they started seeing him in different places. They ate meals with him. They met him at a beach. They encountered him on a road walking. And they started to see him and touch him and eat with him. And in, and in, And they weren't overjoyed that they saw him, the one they loved. But as time went on, they started to see the power of this moment. That this very moment, that the empty tomb was the moment that Jesus crushed death itself. It's the moment Jesus put death to death. And this is why the future can now pour into the present. This is why wherever Jesus is bringing life and can reverse the power of death. Which means you and I should think about our lives and our stories. And I would like you to just think about the last number of weeks and months, and maybe the last year. What's happened in your life? What has broken that you wish would be made new? We see our broken family relationships, our broken friendships, the financial mess we've got ourselves into, our own sexual brokenness, lack of justice, an empty loneliness, an addiction epidemic. We've been hurt and broken and seen people torn apart by the culture wars. Some of us have experienced poverty, violence, sickness, pain. And what if there was someone who held in his hands the power to heal the world, to reverse that brokenness, both now and at the resurrection at the last day, but not just then, that it would start now. That resurrection would begin, that a healing of that brokenness would begin, that forgiveness of sin would pour into our lives and begin to make us new. Because you see, Jesus reversing the powers of death and sickness and pain, and it always starts with us. It always starts deep in here. The remodeling work, the reconstruction work, the renovation work. You know, Jesus is a carpenter. Right? But he comes in and does renovation work in our soul. And so we experience his love and healing now. We begin to see things blooming in us. The Apostle Paul calls it the fruit of the Spirit. We start to see what Jesus can do as he starts to grow new things in our life. And all of a sudden we have hope that his grace and forgiveness could transform us now, could renovate the insides of who we are, and that we would begin to experience a healing of loneliness and isolation in the Christian community, and that we would experience freedom from addiction and the restoration of relationship. That one's a hard one because it takes two to dance, right? But that we find that even in us, even if the relationship isn't reconciled, we're getting to a place of healing where God is just restoring us and the anger we feel is being healed and the prayers we pray for the other are starting to flow more easily and we find that he's setting us free. The future is here in Jesus. The life of God can pour into our life today. We can experience death working backwards. We can begin to taste what it's like for everything sad to start coming untrue. Is it instantaneous sometimes? Yes. I love those miracle stories of instantaneous moments where relationships are healed and addictions are healed. But oftentimes, it's not instantaneous. It's step by step. It's the slow work of God and his healing in us. And yes, as I mentioned a moment ago, we live in the in-between time where Jesus is beginning this work. But we look forward to the day when he will wipe away every tear from our eye. But we have hope today. Today, we come with our honesty like Martha and her sister Mary. We come with honesty in our grieving, with our questions, with our lament. Some of us need to be freed up to be more honest with Jesus and say, Jesus, if you would have been here, Jesus, why did it take so long? But he invites you into that friendship of honesty. He wants to hear your heart. And so we come honest before him. And he invites us to trust him again, to trust him. I am inviting us to trust Jesus again. That sounds so simple, but for those of you who are brand new to him, or if you followed him for 8 decades, the invitation is the same. Trust him again. Surrender again. And as you trust him, see what he can do. I love the way N.T. Wright says it. Quote, Jesus will meet your problem with some new part of God's future that can and will burst into your present time, into the mess and grief, with good news, with hope, with new possibilities. I want to give you hope. What would it look like in the coming weeks and months and years for you to renew your trust in Jesus? Maybe you've been following along for these 7 weeks, and you came with that friend who's a Christian, and you're just brand new. What would it look like for you for the very first time today to say, okay, all right, I'll trust Jesus. It's a prayer you can pray. Say, I trust you, Jesus. I surrender my life to you. I'm gonna place my life in your hands. And that surrender is what we call becoming a Christian. Say, I believe you are who you said you are. And I wanna commit my life to you. I'm done living my life for myself. I wanna follow you. It's beautiful. You can do that today. Our prayer team would love to pray with you if you'd like to pray that prayer. But also for all of us who followed Jesus for years, it's the same thing. I was eating Mexican food the other day and I thought, they give different names to the same thing. It's the same ingredients. It's a tortilla and there's cheese. That wasn't in my notes. I shouldn't have said that. It's the Christian life is the same thing. It's the same ingredients, I promise. It's receiving the love of God and it's trusting again, living a life of surrender. Lord, I receive your love and I surrender. I receive your love and I surrender. What would that look like today? To trust again. Listen to the Apostle Peter remind the church of the one who can make things right. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And I have sensed this in my own life. I've seen, not due to my own merit, but I've seen the grace of God at work in my life and these beautiful, you know, flowers that begin to bloom in my life. Moments where I see the transformational work, where I see the carpenter, right, at work renovating the deep places of my heart. I've seen this with an addiction in my life broken. I've seen this as he's healed, begun to heal my bitterness. I've seen this as he's flooded my life with peace when I felt despair. I've seen this in my life as he's poured out his unconditional love and invited me into a deep friendship with him, a friendship that is so sweet, and I'm trying to learn to enjoy it. I've seen this in my own life recently, and I'll say more about this next week, but the current project that the carpenter of my soul is doing is he's currently teaching me to love my neighbor, and I'm very bad at it. So he's undoing this kind of sick, self-centered, prideful priority my heart has. And while it's painful, I have hope, right? I have hope that Jesus is alive and that he's not done with me. And he's alive and he's not done with you. And he loves you. And he wants the healing life of God to pour into your life. Do you want it? Thank you. And let's include everyone else now. Do you want it? Yes. Yes. And do you want him? So if so, I'm a visual learner. So here are two images for you. See Jesus with his arms outstretched over the city of Rio de Janeiro. This is the image of Christ the Redeemer. And see his arms stretched out for you, for the world. This is the welcome of Jesus. Do you see his arms outstretched towards you? And he just says, come, surrender, trust. trust me again. Even if you feel like you failed, like he's, look at his arms. They're open for you. Trust again. Now, see Jesus in Holman Hunt's The Light of the World painting. We showed this in week two of our series. Holman Hunt painted Jesus as the light of the world, standing at the door of your life, knocking. And the door has not been opened in a while, you can tell. There's all kinds of growth and vines growing over it. It hasn't moved in quite some time. And if you look closely at where the handle of the door is, you'll notice there's not one on the outside. So Jesus isn't going to barrel through the door, right? The handle's on the inside. And it requires you and I to open the door and receive Jesus, which is what we want to do once again. We're going to have our prayer team up front and in the prayer room. They would love to pray with you about anything, anything going on in life. But specifically today, it's that word trust. Jesus invites you into a deeper trust, into some kind of, to open the door of your life like that Holman Hunt painting and say, Jesus, light of the world, come in. Pour the life of the future, the healing of the future, the freedom of the future into my life today. So it's trust. It's open the door. And would you join me? Can we stand together? We're going to pray together as we continue in worship. And I would invite you, only if you're comfortable, to hold out your hands in front of you in this kind of posture of receiving. And we'll close our eyes together, we'll pray, and we'll come before Jesus, offering our life. That's what we're doing as we hold out our hands. Offering our life and ready to receive. Jesus, we come to you. And in you, we have a new birth into a living hope. In you, death is working backwards. In you, we believe that everything sad is slowly becoming untrue. In you, we believe that the future is here, and you're making all things new. And so we hold out our life to you. And whether this is our first time or we've done this thousands of times, we do it again on this Resurrection Sunday. We trust you. We say, take our life and remake it. Begin the process of remodeling and renovating. Great carpenter of our soul, start to remake us step by step. Put us back together. We want your resurrection life today. We want your friendship today. We want the cleansing of sin today. For those of us who feel like we've sinned too much and gone too far, Lord, let us see your arms open wide, that we would receive the cleansing of sin again. Lord, we need your love. We're so parched, we're dry. We need your healing love to pour over our life. Lord, some of us are lonely and we need you to bring friends into our life to remind us of the great friendship we have in you. Lord, come in. Whatever you want to do, come in. We open the door. And we confess and believe that in you there is life, and that life is the light of all mankind, and that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We trust you, Jesus. You're alive. Amen. Friends, the Lord is risen.